Esther Tea Company chose Dora because she embodies the core quality of strength and nobility. Her mom raised Dora and her six siblings with nearly nothing at times, but that didn't stop her from becoming all she is meant to be and more. You will hear her say, "Never stop, no excuses." Most reasons we have for not doing better or being better are just excuses to help us feel better about not holding ourselves accountable. Dora says the outdoors have taught her to be brave, independent, and to love adventure. They have given her the confidence that she is capable, and they have kept her close to whimsy, her favorite word. It's where she learned to really love and cherish the little things. Dora believes her purpose is that we are here to give joy to the world, which we do by creating meaningful connections with genuine sincerity and warmth with each human we encounter. Kind humans caring for humankind. I am so excited to be here today.
Me too. Long time coming.
I know it is. And you know what? The thing that is so exciting to me about this is that one of the reasons that I chose you is because I'm probably going to cry a lot, probably, is you've had a forever impact on my life in so many ways, like from the beginning. And I wanted to name this tea after you because, first of all, I think you love tea more than I do anyways. As much as I love it, I've learned more about tea from you than anybody. But more importantly, just because you're an amazing human. And the things that you have taught me in my life have, that's the reason I'm here right now. It's the just encouraging and inspiring and believing in me when I didn't believe in myself. And I just love you dearly. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell people a little bit about your background.
Like way background?
As much as you want to go back. Like, I think it's important because the truth is that if when people look at us from the outside, whether it's me or you or a lot of these women actually, they see us and they think that we're this certain way.
Somewhere.
Yeah. And you haven't had anything given to you.
Well, way back from Colorado, I come from a family of seven. A single mother raised us for most of my life. Had my father for about a year until he passed away from an accident. And then, so that's a unique upbringing, I think, to have seven of us growing up together under one roof with one mom trying to keep us under control and take care of us and juggle all of that. So I always tell people that if I gained anything from my mother, it was her love of work. Because I never remember her not working. Never remember her doing anything but work. And she was an unconventional mother, maybe by some standards. But she also, I never remember her crying. She's very serious at times. She was very particular. There was no whining per se. But I never remember her being grumpy or fickle or pouting about the circumstances. And so whether people noticed her joy, I just noticed that she didn't show her discontent with life. And she just worked so hard and took her work, her trade, her craft, whatever it was, even doing laundry, she would do it to the best of her ability. And she never let us slack at whatever we needed to do. And so I think that's taught me a lot about my love of work. I don't have great balance with that, but my craft, my work, whether it was when I worked at McDonald's or the current position I'm in to own a business, I love it. I can do it at 2 a.m., I can do it at 2 p.m., I can do it for 2 days straight, and I still love it. And I believe I got that from her.
I think that's so sweet because I've met your mom several times, and I never have heard, and all the years I've known you, I've never heard you say that about your mom. So I think that is just amazing that she gave you that quality. And because you don't complain. That is, I can say a lot of things about you, but that is for sure something that I can say, that there is no complaining in the world of Dora. So tell me a little bit about that. Like what is your philosophy on life and just gratitude?
I don't know I don't know where that really comes from. I think some of it comes from genetics, maybe, and some of it comes from how you perceive things as you grow up. Like, no, we didn't have much, but a lot of people don't have much and they can still be grumpy and fickle. So I'm not really sure. But I think, I don't know, just a great appreciation for the little things. And it's cliche and we hear it all the time, but I have a great love for the little things. and we had a little, but we just had fun. Yeah, I think that was it. Like with 7 kids and 1 house and all the things we did, just to have fun in the little things. And that's what we've done. Like, yeah. Our greatest joys are the little things.
Yes.
The little things we've done together, it's the silly so moments, the wrapping each other in toilet paper to look like a snowman, right? Whatever, the mud pies when we're camping.
Yes.
To stop and be in the moment, the little things.
You know, let's talk about hiking just for just a minute, because, you know, I remember you invited me and you invited Carson and I to come to the, I think it was called something with Noose.
Yes, the Noose River. Cliffs of the Noose.
Cliffs of the Noose, that was it.
Cliffs of the Noose. Yes.
And I remember saying to you, like, oh, no, I'm not going to sleep outside. I really don't want to sleep on the ground. But you just insisted, like, well, just come for the day. Just come for the day. And so we did. And I had no confidence. I had the wrong shoes. Mm-hmm. But I had so much fun. And I remember that day thinking, I really don't want to leave. Like, I just loved it. The night came and we had the campfire and it was chilly outside and we hiked that day. And I did something that I did not think that I could do. And I remember that, and we do this on all of our hikes. You always say, let's just enjoy as we go. It's not about the journey. Like, it's not even about the destination, although we've been to some cool destinations. But also, like, you would inspire the boys to say, okay, whoever finds the coolest, I love it too. So whoever finds has the coolest find of the day. Uh-huh. And it just causes you to kind of like stop and really look around you, like whether it's a bug or a stick or a leaf or
a good mushroom.
Like, it was just, and I would have never, my greatest memories with Wes before he passed away were hiking. Mm-hmm. And had you not encouraged me to come out there that day, then I wouldn't have had those memories with him. And that's where we really got to talk about things that really mattered. Those are those memories that I have with him those last few years that I cherish and hang on to forever. And I bet you have inspired the love of the outdoors and no telling how many people.
I pray on that ripple. I do. Even in my work, you know, we go every year for the annual retreat. And I make sure 4 days, it's usually women, which is awesome to me because a lot of people just don't spend time in the outdoors. But especially young women don't get as much opportunity, I think. And so, you know, we do the 20-mile bike ride. And they're always so freaked out when you get to the end and they cry. And whether they stay with the practice for a few more weeks or a few more years, I know they will look back on that accomplishment, right? The waterfalls, the rocks, the mud, the 20 miles down the mountains. But I think that's something also I take from Colorado, the love of nature, and being able to share that with others. I think of all the women that have crossed my path that might not have done those things.
I'm one of those.
Without it. And I feel super proud that my brother and my siblings kind of cultivated that in me, and I found my way back.
Oh, love it. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I love about hiking is the freedom that I feel when I'm there. You know, just to be able to breathe the air and really take in nature. And I think that for me, it's helped me to be more in tune with who I am as a person, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you said that about the trials of hiking, because I remember Carson. We pushed him quite a bit when he was little, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's such a great athlete now, but he wasn't back then. You know, and I remember one time I wasn't really very prepared, and we were I don't remember where we were, but we ran out of water, and we ran out and all I had was grapes, and we were almost done, you know. And so he was excited about getting to the waterfall, remember? And then
and
I was like,
back
going back was not fun. But I also remember when we finally got to the end, how excited Dasha and Boyd and Carson were, because they'd accomplished something. That was hard.
And other people don't go there to see it, right? You can get anywhere in your car, but how many people take their feet to get somewhere? I think that's, even for kids, such a proud thing. Yeah.
They were so excited. And I remember he was like, I don't have any water. And I was like, here's a grape. You'll be okay.
There's water in there. Hydration.
Suck the water out of the grape. No, just kidding. No, actually, we did. We did say that. So tell me about what is your greatest hiking journey?
Well, of course, not to brag. I mean,
you should brag, Dora. It's okay to brag on this.
There are some hiking journeys that are about the people that you're with and just the chats that you have and, you know, the just bonding. But I mean, I would hate to say that something grand takes away from all of those. I mean, I think of just the small hikes, you know, that I've done and the memories I've made with certain people that were just all cherished forever. But being able to travel across the world and climb Mount Kilimanjaro and check something off my bucket list and to say that I, you know, had the opportunity to climb the tallest freestanding mountain in the world.
We were all cheering you on. Like all of us, we were doing daily updates. And I know Boyd, your son.
Yeah, that's how I got to the top. Eventually, when I thought I couldn't do it anymore, I just kept yelling at myself, you cannot let down Boyd. You can't let down your family. So.
And I remember him, you shared that post.
Yeah, that he was praying for me. And he asked all of his friends to pray that I would make it. He said, but I have faith, but I just need some extra. Yeah.
That's what friends do, right? Mm-hmm.
It's good to see at that age that, yeah, you seek your friends for that type of support.
So along the journey, did you ever feel like quitting?
No.
I knew the answer to that. I knew before I even asked that was a no. Like, quit is not in you.
Yeah, right?
But it was hard, right?
Oh, it was. It was hard. But not that kind of hard. I think when you have a love of something, like, right, when you just want to do something, it's fun hard. Like, hard can be fun. Mm. Fun doesn't have to be laughter. That's why I try to, like, remind people. Fun doesn't have to be laughter. Fun can be grinding, right?
It's so true.
Yeah, that pride that you have, right? And a healthy pride. Healthy pride of like, yeah, like I got to the other side or whatever. Whatever it is. It doesn't even have to be physical. Many times it's not physical. A lot of it is just, you know, trying to make like blood, sweat, and tears we were talking about earlier a little bit.
Hey. Right?
Yeah, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears can bring a lot of joy.
What was the hardest part about it?
I did get, so nothing mentally, nothing like.
There were no mental challenges?
No. Like, because that's my love. Right?
Like, I get it.
Was it mentally challenging? Yes. But that's when, like, you're, like, for me, I'm in my element, right?
Right.
Physically, like, body wise, I did better than I thought. But I did get, the summit night was. I mean, when you do 7 days and you're like, I'm doing pretty good. And then the last night you think like, I got this, you know, and then it doesn't go as well. You know, you got like negative 30 degrees or whatever, you know, you got your fingers freezing and then your stomach's not doing good and you're kind of throwing open your mask and you're like, you just got to keep doing it.
What do you do when you throw open your mask?
You just keep throwing up because you got mittens on. No.
Because can you take off your gear or will your skin freeze?
It was really cold. Like, I took off my gloves once to put on a different pair of gloves, and that's when I realized how cold it was. So I thought, that's not a good idea anymore. We're not going to go potty for the next 12 hours.
So you have to kind of will yourself
at
that point.
Yeah, but I don't think, I mean, everybody is different. Like, what's hard for me might be super easy for someone else.
I think that's life.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a lot of life in hiking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that just being outdoors, right? Just getting out. I think choices, I've heard this years ago, and I say it over and over again, choices make a tyrant out of all of us, right? And when you're out in nature, I mean, there are choices that are going to go up the path, down the path, in the trees, not in the trees. I mean, they're not complex, right?
Right.
For the most part. And then when you're here, right, even at the house, there's so many choices. I mean, even what to eat out of the fridge, right? But when you're in the, well, you got grapes, man. That's all you got. You got the grapes.
That's going to be enough. And you're going to be all right.
And I love that. I love you, the minimalistic. I mean, do I love, you know, extravagant things too? Yes, but more so. I love just getting back to simply. Then you connect with the people you're around. You appreciate what you're in. You don't have so many distractions. There aren't as many choices. So you savor the moment more. And that's really hard these days.
It is. And that's why I love tea.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about that earlier.
Absolutely.
Because there's no way to rush it.
No. And I wonder, like, what is it that I love about tea? I didn't have an upbringing in tea. And it's kind of, people will feel that it's kind of, very decadent or very, what's the right word? Like, it tends to, bougie. People will perceive, maybe bougie, but even more like, it's just
like elegant and extravagant. Extravagant, even.
Extra prepared. And there's all these videos on like how to drink tea and do it right. I don't go for all that.
Me neither. And I do think that a lot of people are intimidated.
Right. That's
insane. And they're afraid to even just try it because they think they're going to do it wrong. And I'm like, there is no doing it wrong. Right. Like, you just steep it.
Yeah.
And it's joyful. Like,
it slows you down too, right? Just like that. It's a simple cup. It's a simple flavor. You might put some sweetener in it, you know, maybe a little cream, but there's not like, and then you come together and you can have tea with anyone, like, right? I mean, it's just such a welcoming thing. It's not that complicated either. It's not like making a whole meal for someone.
Right.
Right. But it's still beautiful. It has, smells good.
You sit down. And it's special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it does have a little bit of elegance to it, which is nice, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
I don't think we should shy away from that. Mm-mm. I think we should embrace that it is elegant, and it doesn't mean it has to be perfect.
You know, I think about the people I have tea with, you know, like my son and my husband, we have tea, we love tea, but that's not necessarily would have been natural for them unless we made it enjoyable. Or like my brother-in-law, thanks, it was like, we'll have tea or whatever. And I just think, oh, you bring a family together that might not have tea, or all the places I've traveled, and tea can be so different in so many places. And I love that, from like having tea in India or different regions of India where I've drank it, and then going to Africa and having tea there, or even in Iceland, or if you're even in the U.S., if you're in the South or you go to the North, like, and you have it in New York or whatever, or you just, you know, you can have it at a campfire, you can have it, you know, in your kitchen, or you can have it at a tea parlor. Like, I think that people, need to embrace the fact that it doesn't have to be so stuffy, right?
Oh, that's a good word, stuffy. Because I do think people have an idea sometimes. They're like, why tea? Like, because it brings you together. Mm-hmm. And I love that it slows us down and we get to have conversation.
And we all pour from like the same pot.
Oh, I love that. I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it.
Like, you don't just all get your own cup and it's brought to you. Like, you pick your cups and then you pour from the same pot. I don't know. There's something beautiful about that too.
We have a tradition with our cups. You know,
yes.
I love that.
Yes.
I look forward to it every year.
And it's close again. It's coming up.
I know. But do you remember, you want to know what my favorite year was?
Oh, I'm cute. Oh, I know. I
think
I know.
What is it?
When we went to like TJ Maxx or whatever. Yeah. Because we were like, can't let the tradition die.
We were like, we cannot let our tradition die. And we didn't have time to go have tea. We normally try to have a tea with the boys. Mm-hmm. And I also love that how when they were little, we would take them into a tea room and people would look at us like, here comes these noisy, bratty kids. And they were...
They just did so good.
They did. They always did good. I think it was an expectation that... Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to do something maybe that you don't love, but you're going to enjoy it with us.
I think, people would like comment, oh, Boyd, you know, he's so well behaved. I wish my child was like, I'm like, all children can be like that. You just got to give them the opportunity.
It's true.
I think with humans in general, you just got to give them the opportunity.
And put them in situations that they're not comfortable in so that they can learn how to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. Okay, so back to that teacup.
That scavenger hunt.
It was a scavenger hunt. We were determined because we didn't have time to go have our traditional tea where we could each pick a cup, which I love. I have a whole collection of them and I treasure them. And I remember every single time I have tea and I pull one out, I remember where we were and what we were doing and the year that it was. Like, it's so cool. But that year, we were busy with work. We didn't have time for tea, but we were determined to keep our tradition alive. And so, was it TJ Maxx?
It was TJ Maxx.
We went to multiple places, I think, or somewhere. And we were
do you remember that we looked everywhere and there were like no teacups, but we ended up finding two teacups, but they matched?
Yes.
No, they weren't the most.
I laugh every time I see that cup in there. I'm like, you're a misfit.
But they were teacups, and I was like, divine intervention.
Because there was only two of them. And we had looked, and we couldn't find any, so it was special.
Definitely divine intervention
there. Definitely. So I want you to talk a little bit about, because one of the things I love about you is that you truly live with intention.
That's true.
You really do, Dora, and you have inspired me to be more and more like that. In fact, you as a human, every day, have made an impact on my life to be better and to work to be a better me. So I want you to just tell.
Oh my goodness!
Tell me about you, about what you did today in preparation for this.
I was just thinking about the essence, right? Be in the moment, just breathe. Life is so busy, and what is, you know, honor Tracy and what she's doing. So if she's honoring women, and you know what they do that's extraordinary, even in small ways, how can you do that? Who are other women in your life who you can honor with something that's around you? So I was just trying to bring those things close to me, and you weren't supposed to bring this up because I didn't want to make it like this, but I was thinking, what things do I have that individuals that I can wear close to me to, you know, to bring into this, right? And so I thought of Sarah, who's just a priceless woman, and she gave me this bracelet, and Hannah gave me this bracelet to get that I wore to the top of Kilimanjaro.
What does it say? It has something on it, doesn't it?
It does. It has a beautiful quote inside, and it says, step by step, we reach the highest peaks, one step at a time. I tell that to people in my life often. And then Angie, who's like, yep.
She's your original girl.
Yeah, she's my
she goes back.
She's my OG.
She's your OG.
She's my OG. And she gave me this. It has a beautiful, beautiful poem inside of it that I've worn it on many adventures over the years. So, and just little things. Like I wanted Nathan's grandmother to be. So we picked the pillow and we have it right here. Just my travels to India.
Yes.
And when I really started loving tea there. So I wore my ring from India.
Really? When you went to India, was that?
I mean, Well, I mean, I loved tea before, but it's there. It's like I had not experienced it like culturally like that, right? Like here you can go and you can enjoy tea, but where it's like a part of the everyday life, that was really beautiful. When you go in someone's home, it's not like certain people love tea. It's like I don't want to say everybody, but right, it's a common way to just spend time, which I find here we're trying to capture, right? In our culture, right. We're trying to capture that. Other cultures do that a bit better. And so
they do. In fact, tea is the number one consumed beverage in the world, except for here. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we're just too busy.
Too busy to appreciate.
We are. Yeah. So when you were in India, so I love the idea because I can't wait to go. Mm. Will you go with me?
Yeah, I must.
You must go with
me.
I would have loved to take you with me. One of the things that I have really enjoyed about this journey is the people of India are just lovely. Mm. Like they're joyful. I can't tell you how many times, like, and we'll talk at all hours of the night because of the time difference. Mm. And 100% of the time they're cheering us on. They're excited about the journey. They are excited about the fact that we love their tea, and they're proud. They're just very proud, and they're just kind. They're just kind. They're kind humans.
I would, you know, that you say kind over and over. I was reading something earlier, actually, not to get off on a rabbit trail, but it was saying about how, so the term clever, they were explaining, clever is like to be really smart, right? Not clever like we might think manipulative. Clever is like, are you studious and you're inventive and you, those types of things. Can you create things, and are you great at work? Are you clever to get things done? Or kindness? And it was a story, and the story was basically, it said, and it just really was like, that's it. It was talking about how it will always be more difficult to be kind than clever. Mm. And I think in our society that becomes more and more true.
That makes me sad.
It is, but I will have faith that that's not. Yeah, but yes. But it's true, right? It takes more effort and energy. I think truly, you can learn math easier than you can learn how to be kind when it's not easy to be kind, right? It's easy. I mean, kindness is easy when everybody's like just getting along or whatever. But I think, as you're saying, kind people, they're just kind. They're kind.
Yeah,
they're just so kind. But I think living a simple, like living more simply, allows us to think be more kind.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I think that you're probably right about that. That maybe we just get so caught up in the busyness of life that we forget to be kind. Mm-hmm. So when you were over there in India, did you find that? Like, because when I'm doing business with people from India, they're all the same. Like, I mean, they're different personalities, of course, but they all have that same
kindness,
but also like joyfulness.
Yes. Well, I think, yes, joy is just priceless, right? Joy is not fair weathered where you got your happiness that is.
Yes.
I'm not saying this, but like I just got back from Tanzania, been lots of places in Africa where you're talking less developed, you know, tends to be, or just places where there's not as many options, you know, in Belarus or whatever. There are not as many options. You're not, you know, it's just not like as easy to have so many things at your fingertips. But I mean, even research shows that obviously the more happy people in the world are the people with less things. Mm. You know?
So I really think that mm-hmm. there's a lot of truth to that and simplicity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you find that more so in one country over the other?
Well, when you're climbing a mountain with a team that is there to help you make like your dream come true, and that team of men and what they did and how they sacrificed and the teamwork that I saw, the teamwork was just so inspiring. What they did for, you know, for Sarah and I to make our dream possible.
Right.
24, they were like, you know, anything they could do to make our dream possible. So that was a bigger thing. So, you know, that's a little different. But just even connecting with people around, I wouldn't say, I mean, different people, of course, but the genuineness of like love where you question it because you're like, is it really that authentic? Is it really that sincere that quickly? Is that kindness just like that just so easy? It just doesn't come as easy as much, I think, in, you know, in the experiences I have every day in my life. And then when you're in places like that, it's just, it actually, it gives you, like, I don't know if I would say it gives me hope, because I don't really like the word hope that much.
You don't? Why?
I never heard you say that. Yeah, we'll hear this out. I've come to find I want to get rid of that word from my vocabulary. So that's a goal of mine, because I think of hope like this. I think hope is a beggar. Mm-hmm. And faith is what it's all about.
Oh.
Right? And when I was thinking about that, right. And I was like, yeah, when you say I hope, you're begging for something. You're pleading for it.
But when you're not faith, really trusting. I don't know that you're always you're trusting.
Right? So if you just have faith, or you just say it is, right? I am going to say, not I hope you have a good day. You have a good day, right?
Ooh, you're like speaking right? in absolutes.
Yeah. So we always say hope, 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 hope. But I think hope is really, when you think about it, I'm like, yeah, hope is a beggar. It's begging for something.
So I love the word believe.
Yes, that's even, yeah.
Because believing is mm-hmm. powerful to yep. me. Mm-hmm. It's a choice, but if you believe, that's powerful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's that's absolutely, I love that, for sure. Yeah.
So I want to talk about one time, you love reading. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love to read too, but not as much as you. But
I don't know.
But I do love reading. But I was we were going through a phase. I don't know if it's a phase sharing, yeah. where we were sharing, mm-hmm. and you suggested this book called The Alchemist, and it was a life changing book for me. Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting about it is that I've told other people about the book and they've read it, and I always ask, well, what did you get out of it? It's different for mm-hmm. every single person. I was like, well, that's not at all what I thought. You know, that was not my experience. But for me, it was that book was a caveat or maybe like a turning point mm-hmm. to a deeper thought process within myself, like more helping me to become more in tune with who I was and mm-hmm. really realizing that. I think it talks about your personal legend. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was about figuring out what is it that I'm here on earth to do? What's my purpose? And I'm living it. I'm getting to really live my purpose, but that took a lot of hard work and sacrifice, but also failure mm-hmm. along the way. But one of the things that I love about our relationship is that we don't always see eye to eye mm-hmm. about things. And I remember you asked me a question. I'd finished the book and you asked me a really pointed question. You were like, so if you knew somebody mm-hmm. didn't have a strong faith, would you recommend the book? Mm-hmm. And I said, no. And we'd had a debate. I would say it was like a spirited debate,
yes.
back and forth about why you thought the way you did and why I thought
they needed it.
Why they needed it and why I didn't think that I would. But you know what I love about that is that I think I really struggled in the last couple of years with just how much hate there is out there because people differ. Mm-hmm. And growing up, it's really, really reminded me of the lessons that my dad taught me, which mm-hmm. were to, you know, Tracy, you should stand up for what you believe, but you should do it in a kind way. And instead of talking about what's wrong about the other person, this is one of the things I love dearly about you, he would say, just tell people why you believe the way you believe, and then try to understand why they believe, where they're coming from and why they believe what they believe. And I think that we've lost that too. And I just want to say thank you for, even when you don't agree with me, even when you know that I've done wrong, or that, you know, sometimes you've known, like, oh, that's wrong, JJ, right? But you don't ever judge. Like, you never said, you were always truthful with me, but it didn't change your love for me.
Mm, no. I think it's what allows us to, like, love someone wholly, right? Completely. And it's only because I want the very best for you. Or just like with anyone else. I can be really particular. I know. But I want each person to really be the greatest version of themselves who's close to me. And I would be like, well, I don't want anything less than that from you, right?
Right.
I want you to judge me the right way. I want you to, you know, measure me and say, are you falling short? I want you to give me feedback so that I can be better. Because we don't get that very much. Or when we do, it's not from a healthy place necessarily when people are judging us. It's not to earnestly want us to be the best version of ourselves. It's hard to find people that don't just want to judge and, you know, find fault so they feel better about themselves, you know. But to have someone who will, you know, pick you apart, but love all those pieces and just help you figure out how to tweak them, you know, maybe throw a few away, add a few in, to be the best version of ourselves, you know. And I don't like excuses. We talk about that. And sometimes I think our most solid reasons are really excuses that are holding us back from really, you know, being our ultimate best self, which, like you said earlier, we never really arrive, but, you know.
We're constantly working towards being the best version of ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think if someone were to say that they have arrived, that only happens when you die. Yep.
So I said, I'm not the fat Buddha yet, right? You know, when he's enlightened or whatever. So no, and don't do that to yourself, right? I mean, yeah, even if you have a day or two left of your life, hopefully you're still trying to, like, use the rest of yourself up. That's why I think sometimes sleep is a little overrated.
No, I say that all the time.
It's not overrated. I know it's super important for health. But
people always say that to me. They're like, Tracy, you know, you better slow down. Okay. And I'm like, why?
I want to be all, like, used up in the end.
Me too. I really do. And I love how we always talk about whimsy.
Yes. Oh. That's another thing about tea that I think, or the outdoors, right? Tea or the outdoors or just being in the moment. That word for me is just what I wish for everybody. When you think of anyone, even those people who you might have anger towards, or, you know, that you're disagreeing with, wouldn't you want to impart upon them whimsy? I mean, even saying the word is just lovely.
It makes you happy. Yeah. It's like whimsy. I want to be whimsical.
You're pissed off with somebody, but you're like, but I wish them whimsy. I mean, you've got to feel a little bit.
I have so many cards from you that I keep them all. Like, I have every single thing you've ever sent me.
You recently sent me pictures of it.
Yes.
And that meant a lot.
Really?
That it mattered. Because sometimes I feel like those little things that I do for people don't matter as much as they matter to me. Oh. So thank you.
I'm glad I said that.
Yeah, I needed my cup filled and you did it.
Oh, I love it. I didn't even know I was filling your cup because you fill mine all the time. So it makes me feel good on the inside that I could fill yours for once. Mm-hmm. All of those things that you've ever sent me, just from journals to cards to, you know, just little inspirational things, like to a door hanger to you gave me this little wooden plaque that says I freaking love you. Mm-hmm. And it sits on my desk, and when I feel unloved at times, I look at that and I always think Dora loves me
unconditionally.
Yeah, yes,
I'll always be in your corner.
I know that without a doubt. And last year I went through the hardest thing I've ever gone through, losing Wes. And I know how busy you are. I know how busy your life is. Like, you're the CEO of a company and you stopped everything. And it was the day after Christmas of all places, of all times. And you got on a plane, and not only did you come there to be with me, I had a snotty nose. I was super sick and coughing all over you. And it was cold, and it's the darkest, hardest time in my life. And you slept in the bed with me, and you loved on me, and then you missed your flight. Because we stayed up too late.
But divine intervention, I got a pod seat on the way back. So
I've never even had happen in those?
No, but see, yeah, everything, yeah.
But anyways, I just will never forget all that you mean to me and all that you've done for me. But it's not just me, Dora. Like, you have done that for everybody who comes into your life. You know, every single person that you encounter, you make a difference. And I'm just proud. I'm proud of you as a person, as a human. And I'm just thankful for you.
Well, I'm not as good with words as you. And I've been just trying with this journey you've been on. A long journey, but also how much you've accomplished in such a short period of time. And how it's not just business or busy work. It's like purposeful. It's meaningful. It is filled with whimsy, but it's also filled with great grit and like really great purpose. It's not just a nice business plan that has, you know,
I didn't have leverage.
And I wondered, I was going to ask to look at it, but if you're me,
no business plan. There's a lot of heart.
But it, you know, you can do business, right? And there can be great success from that. And then you can wrap your business, right? I say it's like our conduit, right?
Yeah.
So you have a business, but the conduit is to spread joy, to empower women, to remember that, you know, grandness doesn't have to be wrapped in like fancy things or whatever. Like, people can be so amazingly grand. We just got to slow down and pay attention and look.
Yeah.
And just that you've taken so many elements of purposeful things, you know, having a great business, really doing, you know, finding whatever your product would be to have a purpose behind it. But what a great product, tea. That in of itself has, you know, just so many beautiful things that connect people together, and then connecting that to women and empowering them, and then where it will go next, and after that, and after that. And just in, you know, and even the women that you've honored through this, just that tight circle, what you're doing for them and how you're uplifting them, and how proud it makes me feel. My twin things have been really tough lately, to feel like, look what she's honored me with, you know, so.
Thank you.
I love you so much. I love you too. Just as you are. But we're going to get better and better.